And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. We not only broadcast here on the Central Coast, but we stream live on the internet. Just go to richarddugan.com, that's Richard, D-U-G-A-N.com, and click on the Listen Live link. It's on every single page of the website, of which there are only a few pages, but they're significant pages because they give you information. They give you the upcoming schedule of guests that we have. We have Greg Braden coming back in March. We're going to be talking with the daughter of Deepak Chopra, and we're going to have some interesting conversations there as well. And we're going to just have a great time in this expanding new year as we begin the process. If you haven't already started thinking about it, and in one sense, who hasn't, about December 21st, the winter solstice, but 2012 is what we're talking about. And who isn't talking about it these days? What does it mean, and what is going to happen on that day or up to that day or around it? How is it all going to unfold? We have a couple with us who are going to share their insights and understandings as they see it. They are Sri Ramka and Kira Ra, and they are joining us from New Mexico, I believe it is. Welcome to our program.
Good afternoon.
We're delighted to be here, and yes, we are in New Mexico.
And you're going to be in Los Angeles, actually Burbank, California, on the March 13, 14, and 15 for an event, a happening, as we're sort of calling it. We have a lot of different names we can give it, but it's as you've said off air, it's growing by leaps and bounds. It's called 2012. It's a quantum leap. And it's going to be taking place at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Burbank, California. One world, one moment, a quantum leap. Be there. That's the 13th through the 15th in the Burbank area. 2012quantumleap.com is the location where you can get more information. Let's start out. The first question that came to my mind as I was sitting here waiting for the program to begin was your names and where... What are the meanings?
Well, beautiful question indeed, and there are a couple answers to that. I think all of us, especially in North America, grew up with fairly predictable names that we were given, and then many of us, as we move into a spiritual path, we change our name to bring forth a soul essence, an energy that we want to bring into manifestation.
And one of the gifts that happened for Sri and I was after we got together, and this is all in our first book, Sacred Union, The Journey Home, the Archangelic Realm basically came forward and reminded us of our names and the names that we have had in many lifetimes, and that's how our names came to be now. It felt very natural to bring them back into form in this lifetime.
Is there a particular meaning for the various parts? I'm familiar with where they come from, Sanskrit or what have you, in that ancient tradition.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is indeed an ancient tie. For example, Sri and Ram are often found in India in the Hindu traditions, and Sri is a word for reverend or to revere, and Ram is another name for God. Ka is actually from, or was on this planet, from the Egyptian tradition, and it refers to the spirit body, so the etheric body. So altogether it means to revere the spirit of God. And Kira, his name is really the light of the sun. Kira Ra.
Well, I know that on your website, because I have been kind of perusing the various pieces of information that you have available, you are referred to as a wisdom teacher, is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
And Kira is referred to as an oracle of
yes.
sorts.
Uh-huh.
An angelic oracle.
Precisely.
And how did the two of you come to, we'll call them titles, how did you come to those titles or roles, if you will?
Well, you know, or truly incarnation of that energy, we, after Sri Ramka and I came together and all these mystical, magical events happened around us and we reactivated a soul agreement, this beautiful gift of the Archangelic Realm came forward and basically helped us understand that if we were to accept the mission that was placed before us, for this moment in history, that it was Sri Ramka's role to be the wisdom teacher, to be the one to be the recorder, so to speak, of the information, the disseminator of the information. And in my case, all they did was remind me that this was how I was born into this world. When I was a young child, I was extremely clairvoyant, much to the horror of my parents. And, you know, when the company came over, I used to get the lecture about not telling people what their dead grandparents were saying to them and things of that nature. And later on in life, after my near-death experience, all of that came back in extraordinary ways, ways that I could have never dreamed of. And so it was a reminder that this is your role, this is why you're on the planet now, to be able to help bring forward this clarity through this stream of angelic presence.
Well, now that we have had an opportunity to get to know you just a little bit and where you're from and your, shall we say, spiritual origins, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the year 2012, as well as the happening that's taking place in Los Angeles in about a month, a little less than a month. And so we're going to do that. If you'll stay with us, I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And a lot of people have a lot of dreams for the future beyond 2012. Are they going to happen? I would like to think they are. I think that it's going to be a very interesting time, but we're going to get Sri and Kira's perspectives on that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. Through Angel Healing House, I can help you release emotional issues and physical ailments and finally find your inner strength to regain health, clarity, and balance in your life. Find your joy again by booking your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Plans without execution are only dreams. At Monarch Wealth Strategies, we follow a disciplined approach to wealth management. It is our pleasure to be of service to you. Come experience the integrity, competency, and royal service provided by Monarch Wealth Strategies, a financial services firm founded by myself, Vanessa Patterson, and Aaron Clark. We are at 1501 State Street, a building shared with Community West Bank. Execute your plans today. Contact us at 564-0800, that's 564-0800, or monarchwealthstrategies.com.
You know, every time I stay with Econo Lodge or Rodeway Inn Hotels, I feel like I'm doing right by my wallet. See, after just two separate stays at any Choice Hotel, I earn a free night at up to 1,500 hotels through the Choice Privileges Rewards Program. Yep, all it takes is two stays to stretch my travel dollar with a free night. So thank you, Econo Lodge and Rodeway Inn, from me and my wallet. Book at 800-4-CHOICE or choicehotels.com.
Free net requires 6,000 or 8,000 points. Requires two stays booked at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE. Valid 25 through 4309. Details at choicehotels.com.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you.
It haunts me too.
Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me.
Tell Me Your Story. That is the name of the program. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with Amrita in studio. Amrita Ma is with us, and we're talking with Sri and Kira, and we're talking about the year 2012 and the specific date that happens to be December 21st. And of course, we have enough basic knowledge, most folks who have been watching television, reading newspapers, that there is some connection somehow, some way to the Mayan calendar, but that it actually sort of seems to, as I'm beginning to do more research, permeate a lot of the mainline religions, if you will, of the world, but also some of the more ancient belief systems as well. And that this is, I guess what we need to do is find out, what is this? What is this 2012 that everybody's in a fervor about? I'm getting concerned that maybe it's going to wind up just like Y2K, nothing.
Well, you know, that's a reasonable concern, except for one difference. I think every one of us today can say that time has sped up, that, you know, if we look back at January, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, it just was a fast-moving, almost chaotic month. And as we travel the world and chat with people, what we have heard time and again is that people are experiencing a new energy in their bodies. And this energy is felt as vision changes, in some folks as sleep interruption. You know, we're not resting the way we used to rest.
Mm-hmm.
People are being called to suddenly move or change relationships. There is a realignment, you might say, happening. And the reason I point this out is just as the moon is full before it's really full, you know, mm-hmm. it's actually full for about 3 days.
Yeah.
2012 is already here. We're feeling the energy of it. And so I want to start there. There is an experiential knowingness that is happening. People are getting stimulated. Now, the question is, what do you do with the energy? Are you going to use it to uplift, to come, be more creative, to be more focused on the divine, or are you going to get scared and grip tightly at old concepts?
I think that that's a very good question to ask to those who are gripping to the old concepts. You know the results that you've gotten by doing that over the years that you've been around doing that.
Well, absolutely.
So yeah. Why not try something different?
Well, and here's the piece where it takes great trust. We know that our globe, and I'm talking about the conventional countries, political structures, et cetera, we mm-hmm. know that we can't continue the way we have been, that we have really hurt the ecosystem, and we're using depleted, you know, oil supplies that are in depleting, et cetera. And without getting into all of that, I think everybody can agree we can't go on the way mm-hmm. we have been.
Yeah.
And so the thing that we must do is cultivate a new state of beingness or a new type of consciousness. Because as Einstein is quite well known or famous for, you know, the statement that solutions are not found at the level of consciousness that created the problem. So rather than focus on the problem or the solutions, let's focus on our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Let us do things that lift us into a more ascended way of being.
And, you know, I have to just jump in for a second. Sri and I have been so blessed that we have, you know, we never dreamed we were going to be so involved in the 2012 energy or conversation. And recently we've had the blessing of connecting with Mayan elders in Guatemala, because everybody's, you know, talking about the Mayan calendar, and, you know, this is the date that's being quoted. And when we sit with these, and these are the real elders, I mean, we're in the high altitudes of Guatemala with elders that most people never interface with. And when we sit with them, they laugh and laugh when we ask them about their calendar. And they say, oh, you white people, you want to focus on the end of the world. And they just laugh and laugh. And then they look at us and they say, what we know, and they say it with such certainty, what we know is that when our calendar ends, it is because the need for all calendars will no longer be, and the time of the children of light will come forward.
Yahoo! I can get rid of my calendar and my watch.
You know it.
Well, either that or you could sell them on eBay. But
to those people who want to cling to those, to those people who want to cling to those old ways of doing things, quite honestly, it's fascinating where we live, and we kind of bring this up from time to time on this program. My wife and I live up on the hill above Santa Barbara in a rural area. We have chickens and dogs and cats, and we have wild turkeys on the property and very close to nature. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I had a glimpse of a mountain off to the north northwest of us. We thought all of the snow had melted off of the hilltops to the north of us, but I was off to one angle, and there's a mountain that's literally packed. It was just absolutely a most gorgeous view between two giant pine trees that we were looking through. I says, you have to come out here and see this, and it was just amazing. So we're connected. We're and this is one of the things I've heard, the key for a lot of people to make this transition for themselves, I don't know if I want to say easier, but to help make the transition, they need to reconnect with nature.
And it's not, and you're right on, and
I'm
not
clapping.
It's not just nature, it's looking through nature
mm-hmm.
at the beauty and the unfathomable intelligence that has allowed this to come to be. You know, I think we're being called to restore our faith in the divine, however we come to hold that. And what I mean by that is the essential spirituality of trust.
Yeah.
Of knowing that we took birth for a reason, and if we would just get out of our heads and stop trying to project old models on our future and let our hearts lead the way, we will be perfectly guided.
I chuckle a little when I listen to various reports, whether they're news or documentaries, what have you, about the events that take place in the animal kingdom when it comes to, say, a lion that chases down another animal for food. And the prey, the prey is now being chased by the predator. I mean, the names and the verbiage that we as humans give to this process, for them, that's just life. That
well,
is just
true.
The way that they are. There is no aggression, and there is no, it's that's survival in one sense, or instinct, however you want to describe
it. Or harmony and balance.
But when it comes to humans doing that kind of thing, that's a whole nother story.
Well,
and so a lot of people right now are starting to generate energies in a lot of different directions over 2012. And, you know, I was hearing about this back in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2012's coming and so forth and so on. I'm thinking,
right.
Well, that's a long way off. And it's 2009, folks.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And as Sri mentioned earlier, and we are already in kind of this upswell of
yeah.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this event is so important, because as you mentioned so beautifully a moment ago, the old structures, there's a lot of energy around the old structures that is doing its best to kind of dig in its heels and build a bunker and say, we're going to not change. And then you have this other side of that where the energy, this upswell, is already here. Like it or not, this energy is here, and if you are on this planet in body, you are part of it. And so how you navigate the next few years is a critical mass. It's a critical decision for our entire universe, not just this world. And when this event was put together, which was really offered to us at behest of the Archangelic Realm over a year ago, the one message that came through so clearly was that it needed to be in the first quarter of 2009 that a group of people would come together and set this wave of positive consciousness around the planet at a time when the structures would collide. And that's why the opening night, which is was intentionally picked and set to be Friday the 13th,
mm-hmm.
was to blow up all the rest of those paradigms.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're about here, new paradigms for a new world. I love this quote. If it does not bring you joy, why are you doing it?
Woohoo!
And I find it fascinating, especially when you talk about the old ways of doing things, and we're hearing about when the discussions of our of the economic situation, and they want to do all of these different things, and it's like, well, but isn't that what we've tried before in different forms? And
they're just reshuffling the same chips.
Exactly. It's like, you know what? Get rid of the chips. I keep thinking about, and I realize this might be to some sort of Pollyanna or, you know, mm-hmm. pie in the sky concept, but I'm sorry, but I resonate a lot with the economic structures of the 23rd century, Gene Roddenberry,
mm-hmm.
In that they didn't deal in money. They didn't do their jobs for a set salary.
Mm-hmm.
They did it because they enjoyed it. They loved it. And because of what they were doing, things were taken care of. I mean, and people had, they had nothing to want for.
Well, you know, I love it because when we act from joy and from love, I think we enlarge our grace bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And that magnetism, that buoyancy just energizes us, and whatever we require ends up showing up.
I mean, I know there are some animals that store up for the winter, but they only store up for one winter. Okay? Not for 20.
I love it.
You know? So it's just fascinating. Now, tell us a little bit about some of, not just the events, but some of the people that are going to be there. And I know that Ed Begley is a major person who's actually going to be kicking it off on Friday.
We have a number of wonderful people and presenters that have come together. And some of these folks are well-known, and others are emerging contributors. One of the things that we looked at in helping orchestrate this event was to pick people who represented a vision or an energy so that together we would have this synergistic tapestry. So what that really means is we have musicians, artists, speakers and filmmakers all coming together.
And one of the gifts, one of the greatest gifts, is that all of those who were invited to join us came because they understood what this event is about. For example, you have William Henry coming, who I love to refer to William Henry as the Joseph Campbell of our time, an extraordinary investigative mythologist who has really transcended kind of like the next level of information and always brings forward fascinating things. And then we have, of course, George Norrie, who will be there all day Saturday as the MC and really interweaving 12 years of this investigation on Coast to Coast AM, as far as, you know, the 2012 phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Don Jose Ruiz, who is the son of Don Miguel Ruiz, who is bringing this beautiful shamanic tradition and the, you know, the Toltec wisdom with him. And we have Tulku Karma Rinpoche, who is the reincarnation of a 15th century Tibetan Lama, who was recognized by the Dalai Lama and is quite an extraordinary man doing extraordinary work at such a young age. There was even a documentary made about him recently called The Lost Boy of Tibet, and about his incredible journey of life. It's really quite amazing.
Yeah.
And then you have people like actor Jesu Garcia, who's going to be there, who's really trying to show that there is a spiritual component no matter what you do. And of course, his film Spiritual Warriors will be there, mm-hmm. along with many others in our film festival. And then something I'm really excited about is fusion artist Rasuli. If you're not familiar with Rasuli, go learn about him. Not only will Rasuli be there, who weaves this amazing poetic artistry into all of his amazing art, but so will these fusion artists, who will literally be doing live creative painting all weekend long based upon the energy of the event. And so you have all these wonderful people, and there's so many more people coming that are just amazing. We have Bill Burns, who is the star of the History Channel's UFO Hunters, will be there, and an amazing man, always filled with amazing information. And as Sri mentioned, lots and lots of amazing musicians and fun interactives, because this is an event where we all come together in the large main ballroom, experience together, so that the speakers are not speaking to you, they're co-creating with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we break, and we have, there's healing rooms. Like if you say, well, maybe I want to go have a sound experience, or maybe I want to go watch a demonstration of how to make some soul nourishment for myself, all of this interweaving goes on all weekend long, so that you're feeding your soul, you're feeding your mind, you're feeding your body, and you're meeting new friends and coming together in a way that by the end of the weekend, you can bring that energy back to your community so that your presence will free others to do the same. And this is how we will start this co-creative wave around the planet in the face of all the other negative energy around 2012 that's trying to surface.
Yeah, there are those listening who might be thinking that, so what, 2012? I mean, December 21st is just another day,
mm-hmm.
and people are putting all kinds of labels and stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brought to mind, there have to be some civilizations on the planet who are completely, I want to say, unaware of the fervor of what's going on in the developed countries, such mm-hmm. as the United States and around the world. And they're just going about living their lives. And 2012, December 21st, is going to come and go, and it'll be 2020 before we know it. And they're going to go, they're going to be asked, so how did you handle 2012? What are you talking about? What's the big deal? It was just another, I mean, is it possible for somebody to really go through this transition, as you've already shared with us, the energetics have begun here in 2009. Is it really possible for somebody on the planet to just live their life and sort of not get caught up in this?
I think that it's one of those things where everyone will be affected, you know.
In some way, shape, or form?
Absolutely. The question is, are you aware of what's coming, or is it a retrospective?
And, you know, mm-hmm. here's what's interesting about 2012. Unlike the Y2K fervor, which I love that you mentioned earlier, in the respect of 2012, you have this beautiful weaving, this tapestry of all these traditions that all point to the same moment. For example, you have the Dogon. The Dogon have been talking about this rise in time for a long time. You have the Hopi prophecies, which synergize with this time. You have, of course, the Mayan calendar. Then you have biblical revelations. Then you also have the Kali Yuga. So you have, you know, Sri and I were just in India in December for a month meeting with amazing people, and doing a lot of work in the headwaters of the Ganges around this. So it's really fascinating that when you go around the planet, and then of course the Nostradamus prophecies, which we could, you know, spend the whole show talking about. And so what's happened is that there is this kind of wisdom prophecy convergence in conjunction with astronomical fact that our Earth will be in a unique position in the universe at this time. So you have this incredible energy that whether or not you have a consciousness of it, you know, you're just quote-unquote living that, going out in that life, the events, the energies, and the shifts on our planet will be felt by everyone. And how we birth our 2013, because yes, the sun will come up at 2013, is the gift that we're co-creating right now.
But if the energies have started now, the energetic dynamic has begun, and probably obviously has been going, it's building is what it's
yes,
happening.
It's, yes.
And it started building obviously maybe even a year or so ago. And we are now seeing those. I mean, I'm experiencing, I would say a very weird, I mean, since my last birthday, it's been the longest distance to my next. And yet it always seems though, where did January go? And
yes,
when we get to March, where did February go?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's this, and it's kind of hard to describe. It's like on the one hand, I feel this in this elastic stretching of time,
mm-hmm,
and then this speeding up at all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's well said, and it's going to get worse or better.
Oh, thank you very much.
is that we're on this continuum of we like to call it ascension acceleration energy experiences, or AAEs. And there's a list of 22 of these at our website that you could peek at, that are how we are experiencing this shifting energy. Now, you can choose to bring your perspectives away from what's going on and kind of hold on psychologically, or you can relax and notice that everything is shifting. We are lifting. We are doing things differently. But the piece that I think is really important that I want to stress right now is that people are more aware of the effects of quantum physics and the law of attraction and those principles than ever before. We know, pretty commonly known, that what we focus on will produce an outcome. Now, we believe that due to the large number of fear-based movies and writings around 2012, that is contaminating, so to speak, our shared energy,
mm-hmm,
on this planet versus people focusing on true co-creation. What do you really want the world to be like for,
yeah,
you and your children? How can you make a difference right now, today?
And to recognize that you do make a difference.
And take this new energy, this rising vibration, this stimulation that's happening, and focus it on the positive harmonies. We will then call that into the collective soup, and
mm-hmm,
and that'll help condition our institutions, our voters, etc.
I've often, Maria and I have often attended a gathering back in Phoenix, and actually we've had this entity on the program, Equinox, who talks about what kind of world do you want to make it? What kind of world do you want? And
exactly,
it was never specifically stated world meaning the planet Earth, globe, total civilization. It's what kind of world do you want around you, around your immediate physical body?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And there's a group that is, I guess, and we're looking, trying to get these folks on to talk about this movement that started on the 14th of February about Give Peace a Deadline. And the question that I have is, in terms of all of this, you know, what kind of peace? And if it doesn't start internally, it will never manifest externally.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. That is a very valuable and important point to recognize, especially at this moment in history. You know, you may already be aware that one of the things that's going to happen this summer is that Sony Pictures has put millions and millions of dollars into a film entitled 2012 that will be released this summer that is supposed to be the most horrific end-of-world story ever filmed. And so what do you think that will do to our collective consciousness if a preemptive strike, so to speak, is, mm-hmm, not implemented?
You know, and at the same time, I would offer this. Back in the 80s, when a movie called The Last Temptation of Christ came out,
mm-hmm,
I was working for a Christian station. They and others put up a great deal of fervor. The movie made even more money than it ever should have because even I saw it because I was so curious because everybody was talking about it
sure.
and I want to see what it was about.
Right.
And it wasn't a great movie, but I even went out and read the book because I wanted to know more, and I just found out it was a guy's musing. But the point is, I understand where you're coming from as far as that's concerned. So now you have to figure out, okay, how are we going to counteract this without generating more energy toward it at the same time?
So the key is to lift our eyes out of the outer world or off the phenomenon.
Mm.
You know, one of the things when we talk about the wisdom prophecy convergence, if you read a prophecy that says something bad is going to happen and you start getting fearful around it.
And you start talking about it to other people.
You are helping to manifest the very thing you don't want.
Hello.
You know, and so why do you want to read nasty headlines? Why do you want to read negative news or partake in negative conversation? And it's tough because there are forces in the world that just as soon keep us a little bit fear-based.
And this is why in the blessing of the wisdom prophecy convergence, you must remember that you are the ultimate prophecy.
And you have free will.
And you're the one that's co-creating. What if these prophecies were put in place in our world, which is a free will zone? If you're in a free will zone and thereby you cannot be manipulated with, how do you manipulate? Maybe you interject it into the stream of consciousness and you let people blow up themselves.
Yeah.
And so the way to counteract that is to come together to commit to ourselves that our heart is the best truth detector we have ever had. That to empower each other, to empower ourselves, to trust ourselves, to come back into that recognition that we are the co-creators. What do we want to bring forward?
Now, this quote that I made earlier was from the Archangel Zadkiel.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to what we're talking about here too, because if somebody's, oh, I love scary movies and I love stuff like that, I would continue to put this to them. Does it really bring you joy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, genuinely, does it really bring you joy to go see a scary movie and so forth and so on? And I would have to say that yes, we are intrigued, and it's like, you know, we just have to see. I mean, that's one of the reasons why people, for example, go see NASCAR, because they're not going to see the guys going around in circles. They're going to see wait for the wrecks.
Well, people are addicted to adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's NASCAR, football, or scary movies, they're addicted to the sensation in their skin of that excitement. And that is a lower form of joy, you might say.
Okay.
You know, true joy is so sublime compared to that jolt.
Yeah.
And it's of the essence of the divine. True joy is beyond emotion. It is that consciousness that just knows that everything is okay, that all is well, and that there's joy in recognizing the beauty of a leaf, the smile of a child. Oh, you need a hand? It's my joy to help you with your problem.
Yeah.
You know, it arises naturally. That's what we're wanting to cultivate, because from that energy, there isn't a problem in the world that can't be handled with ease.
One World, One Moment, A Quantum Leap. Be there March 13th through the 15th in Los Angeles at the Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, and actually in Burbank, California. It's Quantum Leap 2012, and you go to 2012quantumleap.com. That's 2012quantumleap.com. And Sri and Kira's website is selfascension.com. That's selfascension.com. You can get there also through my website, richarddugan.com. Go to the radio show's page following this broadcast, and there's a link there. Their names are the link to their website and all of the information, much of what we've been talking about here on the program, and you can do more study and research. You folks have also written a number of books on 2012.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
Tell us about those.
Well, we have three books out on the subject, and our first book, 2012, You Have a Choice, is a really powerful book that really invites you to pay attention to how you're navigating this moment in history. What are the choices you want to make, how to anchor them, what the outcomes of our potential choices are, and practices to move through that. And then our second book on the 2012 subject, 2012 Atlantean Revelations, really is like three books in one. The first part of it very much reads like a novel. For many, many people, they absolutely have stunning memories of past lives on this planet related toward the Atlantean experience and how we let that experience go to seed, so to speak. And then the second part of the book are 12 lessons of light. And these are not like workbook lessons. These are lessons that were given to us directly by the archangelic realm that are energetic conditioners. And actually, we encourage you doing one lesson a month for a year to really let them anchor. And then the third part is, okay, now that I have all this, how do I live a 9-to-5 life? You know, I've got the bills to pay, the kids to shuffle, the soccer, school to do. You know, how do I apply that? So it's very, very practical. And then our most recent book that just hit the bookstores is 2012 Awakenings.
And the subtitle of that one is Choosing Spirituality Over Armageddon. And we wanted to coin that phrase to let people know that your choices and your actions are vitally important at this time in our shared history.
And to recognize, and to pick a word you used earlier, that this is not a Pollyannic view of the future, that is, in order to co-create, is your God-given birthright? How are you using it? You're already co-creating. I mean, everything in your life is a co-creation. How are you going to focus that? And we weave together all of the wisdom prophecies and show the streams of how those are really leading to, quite frankly, the most beautiful awakening that's ever been on the planet. I mean, one of the things I learned through my near-death experience that I was so honored to really know is that not only are you on this planet by choice, you stood in line to be here, and you wanted to be here for this very moment.
You know, that's a hard concept for a lot of folks to accept as far as a previous life coming into this life. I've been through some personal growth programs where it's gotten really, really rough and really tough within the intensive. And then the comment is made, well, if you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be. But you must want to be here because this is where you are.
Exactly.
and it doesn't help, but it's sort of the truth.
Yes.
And it's like, I didn't want to hear that.
Well, you know, we really have a couple selves inside.
Yeah.
You know, there's that personality self that we grew up and were conditioned and accepted our culture and our parents and all the things that come with it. And then there's your precious soul, your essential self. And more, we're seeing that what some people call the higher self, the soul energy, is coming forward. People are really craving authenticity, integrity, honesty. These are the words that describe the soul, the love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sri was a very successful psychotherapist. I should let you share this, Sri, because I think it's really important. And he's no longer practicing psychotherapy because of his revelation that psychotherapy just keeps you really learning how to cope without growing.
And before he shares that, I want to let folks know you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. I'm Rita Maas with me in studio, and we're here with Sri and Kira, and we're talking about 2012. And Kira, you need to stop being so darn psychic, because that was my next question.
Sorry.
So what did you guys do before you got into this? Go ahead, Sri.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be alive, and I have gone through many lives within my lifetime, meaning I was a businessman for many years, and then I just found it left me hollow. I made as much money as I could make, and it wasn't what I was truly seeking. So my soul, my inner wisdom drew me to the field of personal growth, and I became a psychotherapist. And what I discovered is most people just wanted the pain to go away. They wanted to learn coping skills and true evolution. You know, I believe that we all grow and mature every day of our lives, and especially if we allow that intention to come forward, that we become more loving, we become wiser, we become more ascended as we travel. And so psychotherapy got very old for me, and I moved into a number of other fields in spiritual studies. And what really happened is that I had my epiphany along the way, and I want to thank life for giving me a real rough bankruptcy.
Mm.
And as I was transitioning, everything went south in my business life. I was starting to bridge into the psychotherapy training while I was still owning a business, and I had a big bankruptcy. And it brought me to my knees. And I just want to say that, and I'm sure there's many folks that have a similar story, when we hit bottom, that is often the time we find our truth.
Yeah.
And it was certainly that way for me. You know, I didn't have to die like Kira did in order to find my truth. And certainly bankruptcy is a form of death.
It is, yes.
As is divorce and other and serious illness, etc. Mm-hmm. All of these situations can be great teachers in life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Robert Bly says in his book, Iron John, he uses the word catabasis, which is the bottom. And you can't go any further down than the bottom, but you have to, sometimes you have to go there mm-hmm. in order to, and not so you can look up, so you can start working your way back up.
Well, we touch the void, and there we find the light.
Yeah. And Kira, you would actually fall into the category of another program that we might do down the road. And regarding transitioning, that's a subject that, so to speak, is sort of near and dear to my heart. I'm not sure exactly why, but we cover it from time to time with different guests talking about transitioning and what it's all about. So tell us a little bit about your path and how you find yourself here today and obviously preparing for this wonderful happening in March.
Well, thanks for asking. You know, as I mentioned briefly earlier, I was a very awake child, and it was very rough for me because I chose to grow up in the northeast of the United States in a place that people just really were very afraid of the skills that I was just naturally born with. So, you know, being a quote-unquote good little girl, I went to sleep. You know, I got very, very asleep. And what happened to me was I followed in the footsteps of what my parents thought I should do and, you know, went into the started working, and I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase or anybody say, you know, I think I'm working myself to death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I literally did. I mean, I did that very literally. In hindsight, I realized what a powerful manifester. And so when it was Christmas Eve day, 1989, and I remember stepping off a plane from a business trip, passing out, waking up in a hospital where I was told that I was dying of cancer. Not only that I had it, that I was dying of it, that if I didn't have surgery right away, I wouldn't make it past the next couple weeks. And that, even before the actual near-death experience, that was the first moment in what had been probably 20 years that I felt all the energy I had as a child reanimate into my body. And I remember gazing at this doctor saying, you know what, it's Christmas Eve, I want to be with my daughter, I'm going home. And I did. Well, it was about 2 months later, I did wind up in the hospital and died on the operating table. And that gift, that moment, that experience, when I came back, much to the horrific horror of my poor young surgeon, I think it was my gift early on in his career to help crack him out of his paradigms, because they were already writing the death certificate when my body reanimated. I should have had paralysis. I shouldn't be able to talk. You know, all the should-haves according to the traditional medical field.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift for me was that it started, everything I'd had as a child not only came back, it came back in ways that were beyond even my own acceptance. You know, it wasn't an instantaneous. It then took me, believe it or not, 10 more years to really accept who I was and to really let go of the density. And then in a little after the millennium and all the energies that happened there, Sri Ramka found me on the internet. We are an internet success story. We actually met online. And with that came the other part of the life lessons where, for me, I had gone through all these amazingly bad marriages. I had been through this near-death experience due to cancer. And one day I realized my aha moment was that the only thing I had in common with all these, what many people would call horrific experiences in my life, was me. I was the common factor. And that was an amazing aha moment and a moment of freedom and a moment of understanding and a surrender. And I write about this in our very first book, Sacred Union, The Journey Home, and a divine connection where this beautiful golden ray of light literally entered into me and showed me two paths. And it showed me the path I had been living and that I could have lived out the rest of my life doing that, or it showed me this other path, which is the path I am living now. And I remember feeling loss when I saw that because I knew I was going to pick the path that was different, and yet there was a grief over letting go of the old life. And within 3 months, Sri Ramka entered my life. We activated our soul agreements. The archangelic realm came in and started helping to explain why I had had the near-death experience. I subsequently went through another near-death experience after Sri and I had been together only a month. And so it's been an extraordinary journey of love and discovery and really of delight to be on the planet now in full consciousness of the blessing that this lifetime is.
Yeah, and it's only a coincidence that you were the common denominator in all of those events. Only a coincidence.
Just a slight coincidence.
You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. I'm Rita Maas in studio with me. Sri and Kira are on the line, and we're talking about 2012. You can find out more about them and 2012 Quantum Leap that's taking place in Burbank, California, by going to richarddugan.com, clicking on their link, or go to selfascension.com, selfascension.com. I'm going to ask you when we come back about one of the participants in your happening that's coming up in March 13, 14, 15th in Burbank, California, and we'll do that in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
We live in earthquake country. It's a fact of life. Are you ready for the big one? The time to prepare is now. Learn what you can do to protect yourself and your family. There are some important things you can do today to prepare in case you become displaced and need access to health care. First, know where your health insurance card is and carry it with you. Make a copy of the card and keep it with your earthquake preparedness kit. Also, if you and your family have personal health records available online from health plans like United Healthcare, make sure they are up to date. Personal health records contain information such as medications you're taking, current conditions, and other information that will help healthcare professionals in the event you need treatment. Should you or your family be displaced and need medical care, your online personal health record can be accessed, but only with your permission, by a physician or hospital from almost anywhere. If you don't have a personal health record, ask whether your health insurer offers that service. If so, be sure to take advantage of it. Let's all be prepared for earthquakes. A public service message from Pacific Care, a United Healthcare company.
I say rock, you say
roll.
No. I say rock, you say
Morro Bay.
No. I say rock, you say
Fred.
No.
Barney.
No.
Betty.
No.
Wilma.
No.
Bam Bam.
No.
Pebbles.
Close.
Well, yabba dabba doo, dude.
At Santa Barbara Stone, we have dozens and dozens of rock, stone, pavers, wall blocks, gravels, landscape boulders, and yes, even pebbles. And we have them in wonderful displays and configurations so you can tell what they will look like inside and outside your home. A pile of rock is just a pile, Gomer, so not only can we help you in your choices, but recommend licensed professionals that can do the work for you. And even if you're going to choose something and have your husband do it, we have the right people to get you going in the right direction, and we have those wonderful displays that will help you get it all together and make it work for you. So yabba dabba do come into Santa Barbara Stone soon, and we'll show you how a pile of stone can become a project that really rocks. Santa Barbara Stone at 27 North Millpool off Milpus at McDonald's.
Well, those bloody displays are great, really.
How in the world did Mary Poppins get in this ad?
I don't know. She just showed up on an umbrella.
Great.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the country's in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are talking with Sri and Kira on the line from New Mexico, and they're going to be in Los Angeles, California at the Marriott in Burbank, and they're going to be participating in and putting together, they've been putting together for some time, this wonderful 2012 Quantum Leap, and we were struggling for a while to figure out what to call it, an happening, an event, and you came up with all kinds of wonderful other phrases and adjectives to describe it, but it's going to be a great opportunity for folks. Amrita and I are even going to be there on Saturday in the afternoon to share and have a chance to meet the two of you in person.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to that. That'll be the 14th of March, but it's the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And once again, that is at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Burbank, California, and that's near the Burbank Airport. And you can certainly go to 2012, quantumleap.com. That's 2012, quantumleap.com to find out more. I want to find out more about the Guatemalan angel whose name is Chia.
Well said.
Thank
Woo-hoo,
you.
You could be a Mayan. And,
I may have been.
Yes, very true. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Sri and I are so blessed. We've had this calling to Guatemala, so much so that we're currently in the process of building a small retreat center on the shores of Lake Atitlan down by a beautiful Mayan village by the name of San Lucas Toliman. And as we've been going down regularly now to Guatemala, we're down there about every other month for the past year, we've been blessed that we've been adopted by several Mayan villages. And one of the means of acceptance is to offer you a true Mayan dog. And the story of
So I want you to hear this.
Yeah.
When you come into the neighborhood, they don't give you a cake or a pie. They hand you a puppy.
Yes, and only if they think you're really going to be able to, you know, nourish it. Well, but here's the story of Chia, which is just so amazing. She, you know, when it rains down there, if you're down there during rainy season, it rains. I mean, we're talking about torrential downpours. And in the middle of the night, 1 month before this one group of Mayans met us, over a six-foot wall, this little teeny pure white puppy came flying over. And so that's why they called her the angel. And they offered her the name Chia, which is an ancient name for the ascended one of the lake. And they had lots of talk about how this puppy was an omen of an angel that was coming, and that they were that the keeper of this dog was coming. And after Sri and I went down there and met with these people, it was decided among them that we were the ones that she was the omen of to gift, because of the connection that we have and the many. It could be a whole show sharing with you all the mystical things that have happened down at the lake and the resurrection of the lake. And of course, to the Maya, they believe in the Popol Vuh, which is their sacred text, that humanity birthed from this lake on the planet. And so there's a lot of amazing power. If you've never been to Lake Atitlan, Guatemala, come join us there, because
magnificently beautiful.
It's an outrageous experience, and the lake itself is an imploded cone of a volcano, and it's huge, very, very large, and then around it still are three other volcanoes, and it's a high mountain lake. It's over 5,000 feet high in the highlands of Guatemala, and this is where these authentic Mayan tribes still are. And, you know, we're walking trails that have been walked for thousands of years, and Chia joins us, and it's really been quite a gift.
Well, I, being the at times the more practical individual, I find it hard to believe that Chia was actually flying of her own accord.
As do we.
I half suspect that there was a heave-ho on the part of some human somewhere.
I think someone was guided to bring her into our lives.
To throw her over that wall, I would agree wholeheartedly.
Wow. Well, I want to thank both of you for sharing this time and the information about 2012, and hopefully, dispelling some of the fears that a lot of people have gripped onto and they've released today in this program, because that's really what needs to happen. We need to let go of that stuff, let it be, and move on to create what we want. That's the whole point of New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you these new choices. And if you've been grappling with and holding on to the fear, and you can see how that's been working for you really well, why not try something different? Put in a new videotape. Take out the old one, because you're going to get the same result. I tried doing that with the DVD, but that didn't work because they have alternate endings. Sri and Kira, I want to thank you once again for joining us on the program, and we want to have you hang on the line for just a moment, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
Well, many blessings indeed, and we look forward to greeting all your listeners.
Great. Thank you. And I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we invite you to stay with us every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. You can also hear these programs following the broadcast. They're archived up on the website, richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. You can also go to Sri and Kira's website, selfascension.com. I'm Richard Dugan. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Love to Lal.